Good afternoon. Good to see all of you here as we celebrate the gift of Thanksgiving. As you know, last weekend, Christ the King, last day of the church year, and now this coming weekend, first Sunday of Advent. So we're in the transition time, and it's kind of nice to have the gift of Thanksgiving in that transition time to remind us that throughout the church year, from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, God is good. And he is gracious to his people. So good to have all of you here, and I wish all of you a very blessed Thanksgiving tomorrow. A few things that I want to highlight for you. First of all, we've got pie afterwards, and there's a bunch of different kinds of pie. So hopefully we've got one that'll be a flavor choice of yours. There's whipped cream, there's ice cream. So please stay afterwards and have some fellowship and some refreshments. Remember that the offering that we have each year on Thanksgiving is in support of the pastor's discretionary fund. We don't budget that item, so this is the one time a year that we provide an opportunity for people to support the pastor's discretionary fund. Also remember that Judy Pierce is distributing with friends holiday cookies. Don't forget that this Saturday there'll be a special Advent gift for you, a book that I picked up to go along with our Advent theme this year. Also on December 4th, you can see it in your bulletin, but there'll be an Emmanuel huddle. Lots of information sharing will happen then, so I hope and pray that you can all be present for that. Discipleship covenants for membership here at Emmanuel. Remember, it's an annual basis, and in 2022, technically that starts this Saturday, but we've already got 25 people that have signed their covenants, so that's wonderful to get a head start on things for the new year. Men's Bible study a week from today at 11 a.m., Women's Bible study a week from today at 1 p.m. And then finally, don't forget that one of the responsibilities that we have at Emmanuel is snow removal. In the past, we've done that on Mondays, but it's our responsibility to kind of oversee that and take care of that. So please let one of the council members know if you have the ability to help out with that ministry or if you want to be the point person for that as well. You know that during the past few weeks, we've been giving out Thanksgiving cards, and you've mailed them out. We mailed about a dozen out to different supporting congregations and pastors that keep us in their prayers every week. And so I thought it would be fitting, not only as we say thank you to others for their presence in our lives. We're thankful, for example, that Jane is here. She played at 11 o'clock at Madonna Towers, and now she is here this afternoon for us. So thank you, Jane. But we also got a thank you in the mail. So I thought, well, I should share that with you, seeing we're gathered here for Thanksgiving. And it's from New Life Family Services here in Rochester. Dear friends at Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Rochester, my name is Leah. I am the new development coordinator for New Life Family Services at the First Care Center in Rochester. It is wonderful to connect with you. I'm reaching out to you today to simply say thank you. Thank you so much for your support this year. As staff, we are taking time to express our deepest appreciation for your partnership with New Life, because we know that our mission would not be possible without you. Thank you for being such a big part of this ministry. We are so very grateful. Know that you are appreciated, and your support will continue making a life-changing impact for years to come. Lastly, we would love to be praying for you. If you have specific prayer requests, please email them to me. I would love to come alongside you in prayer. I look forward to connecting with you and hope that you have a very blessed Thanksgiving. With much gratitude, Leah Helgeson. So, this is a thank you from them to you. It's one of our ministry partnerships that we have in our budget, and it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference as far as caring for, advocating for life in the womb. So thank you. Today, it's good to see that we got some kids here because Don's going to put up on the screen for us a couple of things in our service today. We're going to have a children's moment. There is a psalm of Thanksgiving called Psalm 107. And so it's going to be an animated version. So that'll be in the service. And then also I came across a beautiful hymn by the Gettys. Most of you know one of their hymns called In Christ Alone. But this is about being thankful. And I thought, well, we've got to have this. We just can't do it without this. If you haven't heard this, even if you don't sing the words with the Gettys as they lead us in our hymn today, pay attention to those words, please. because they have moved me deeply for the last month and a half since I ran across this, okay? So a couple of special ads that we have for you in the service today. So thank you, Don, for going that extra mile. I appreciate it. Well, I think that should do it. Let's rise for our invocation. We worship as we live, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, you thankful people, come. With joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness.
Come before him singing with joy.
Acknowledge that the Lord is God.
He made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Go into his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our lives are filled with the abundance of your grace and mercy. We thank you for the good things of your creation that fill our lives. We praise you for the gift of Jesus. May our gratitude be so abundant that it flows into radical generosity that reflects your boundless love for all. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated then for our children's moment.
Should give praise and thanks to the Lord. From the east to the west, and from the north to the south, everyone who has been redeemed and saved from trouble should tell their stories of deliverance and victory. Some who wandered in the desert wastelands became unable to find a city where they could live. Out of food and water, they were near death when they called out to the Lord, "Help us." God led these nomads straight to a city where they could find food, water, and a place to stay. Let's give thanks for God's unfailing love that satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry. Some once sat in darkness, cowering in the shadow of death. They were prisoners chained to their decision to rebel against God's word, weighed down from the pain and suffering brought on by their poor choices. They cried out, "Help us, Lord, rescue us." God's light broke through the darkness, and he broke their chains and led them into freedom. Let's give thanks to the merciful God who breaks every chain and sets us free. Some foolish individuals allowed their sin to carry them into sorrow and suffering. Despite growing sick and feeble, they refused to eat any food. At the very gates of death, they cried out to the Lord, "Help us!" God healed them and saved them from the situation they had inflicted upon themselves. Let's give thanks to the God who heals us because of his wonderful love and kindness. Some set sail upon the sea for faraway lands. These people witnessed God's mighty power during their time at sea. Terrible storms battered their ships, sending them up and down massive waves and causing them to stumble and stagger. Unable to even stand up and fearing that they may sink, they cried out, "Rescue us, Lord!" God calmed the storm and brought them safely to their destination. Let's give thanks to the God of power who is great and wonderful to those he loves. God's power is unmatched. If he chooses, he can dry up a river and turn the land into desert. He can take a fruitful land and turn it into a swamp because of the wickedness of those living there. He can turn a barren wilderness into a life-giving oasis, allowing cities to spring up, where God's people are blessed and prosper greatly. In the cities God has blessed, some prosperous people turn from God and her people, even those who are less fortunate. God rejects the proud and arrogant, and lifts up the humble and needy. He raises up the lowly and gives them a safe place to live where their enemies cannot touch them. Let's give thanks to God for his love and mercy that will never end or diminish.
We'll just, can we hold that done?
Gotta love technology. Do you want to do this before? Will we do this? Okay. I think we're going to sing this before the scripture.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart.
My heart
is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him. To love and follow him.
Our first lesson for tonight is Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The second lesson is from Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you.
The sermon text for today is 2 verses from Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. It was about a month and a half ago when I was thinking about Thanksgiving and about our service today. And I was reading an article by Sean Thomas. It was on Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. And I've read this Psalter. I know that you've read and meditated upon the Psalter. But as I looked at these two verses, and as I spent the last month and a half, I thought, why is it, how is it, when is it that we give thanks to God? Well, think about what the psalmist is saying, and this is a psalm of David. And you know enough about David's story, David's life, to know that the circumstances in it were not always pleasant, were sometimes more than challenging, difficult to say the least. And yet, when David authors, sings, praise Psalm 9, notice how he begins. I will give thanks. Now, it may seem like a small thing, but David says, this is what I will do. He's addressing the congregation. Those who have assembled for worship, for prayer and praise, David says, this is what I will do. I can't speak for you, but this is what I can say for myself. And notice that it's a future tense verb. It's not, well, this is what I used to do. He says, this is what I will do. In other words, will is a promise word. David says, this is what I will do. I will thank the Lord. Well, who is it that we give acknowledgement to? Who is it that we give gratitude to? Because I'm guessing that most of us at one time or another have sent thank you cards, thank you notes, thank you letters to someone. I mean, there are times, are there not, when you and I have maybe composed a Christmas letter, or maybe we put something on Facebook, and one might even call it a brag posting. Why? Because we want to exult, we want to be glad, we want to share or recount the good things that are happening in our lives. The celebration of a new birth, the celebration of a wedding, the celebration of a birthday party. I will give thanks to whom? Did you notice what David says? I will give thanks to the Lord. Lord in capital letters. That's God's personal name. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is not a lowercase small letter G God. It's not a generic white label that we say, well, who or what is God in your life? No, what David is saying is there's only one God. This is the God of the burning bush. This is the great I am, and in the Gospel of John, you and I both know who that is. That's Jesus. Do you see in one verse what David is saying? What David is promising as he addresses those who are assembled for worship? He says, I will give thanks to Jesus. Already in the Old Testament, in Psalm 9, David is saying, I will give thanks to Jesus, to the great I am. And then you probably noticed that as I was reading those two verses, there's a little bit of a transition. Because now David is no longer talking about to the congregation what he will do, what he intends to do, what he plans to do. No, instead, David starts to do it. He puts his vow, his pledge, into action. He prays, sings to the one who is the O Most High, Almighty God, the great I am. And there are three specific things that David says to God. First, he says, I will recount your mighty deeds, your wonderful works. He says, I will exult and be glad in you. And then he says, his third petition, if you will, he says to the Lord, I will praise your name. I will praise your name, I will exalt and be glad in you alone, and I will recount. You know what a recount is, right? You want to verify something. You want to make sure that it was accurate the first time. Sometimes the count is really close, huh? Well, David says, I'm going to keep recounting over and over and over again. I'm going to keep telling and proclaiming the good news. Sean Thomas, in the article that he wrote, made a reference to Corrie ten Boom. You know the name. She and her sister Betsy, along with her dad in Holland, they rescued hundreds of Jews in the hiding place, saving them from captivity by the Nazis. And eventually, Betsy and Corey and their hiding place was discovered. And they ended up at Ravensbrück. They ended up in a concentration camp. And in the concentration camp, you can read this episode in the book, The Hiding Place, but in Ravensbrück, Corey and her sister Betsy were looking around at the dark, gloomy barracks that they were in, flea-infested, lice-infested, probably built for about 25 to 40 people, and now there are over 200 people in there. And Corey says, "How will one survive? How can one survive in this madness, in this darkness?" And already, guess what her sister Betsy is doing? She's praying. You see, David doesn't just talk about what he's going to do. David puts it into practice. Corey is worried about the surroundings, the circumstances that they find themselves in. And meanwhile, Betsy is already praying. And she says, "Show us. Lord, show us how it is that you will provide for us in this dark place, because you are the light. Show us, Lord." And then Betsy says, "He has shown us, Corey." And she quoted St. Paul. She quoted St. Paul in terms of his writing to the Philippians, or you could also look at 1 Thessalonians, where Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks to God in all circumstances, or when Paul is writing his epistle of joy in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, "The Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand. So don't be anxious. Don't be worried or anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the God of peace will keep you perfected in His peace. He'll guard you and keep you. He'll provide for your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So here is Corey and Betsy. With all this crowded, dark environment that is flea-infested and that is filled with lice, "He has shown us," Betsy said, "He has shown us how it is that we live through such dark, trying times." "Such as," Corey said. "Well, such as this, my sister. We can be grateful that you and I were not separated. You could have been sent to a different concentration camp and me to another. Or even in this concentration camp, you could have been in one barracks and I could have been in another. But you see, the Lord kept us together." And so Corey says, "Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me and my sister together." And then Betsy continued. And she said, "Such as, what are you holding in your hands?" "A Bible." "Did you notice that when we came in here, everywhere else, they're always inspecting everyone, but they didn't inspect you. And so you were able to bring the Bible in here with you." And Corey says, "Thank you, Jesus, that there was no inspection and we were able to bring your word in here." And then Betsy continued and she said, "Such as this crowd of women, all these women that are in here, packed in here like sardines, That means that when we're reading out loud these words out of the Bible, more of the women here will hear the news and they'll be sustained. And Corey says, and so we thank you, Jesus, for these dark, crowded, cramped quarters. Such as, Betsy continued, the fleas and the lice. That's when Corey said, I don't see how God can use that as a blessing at all. But she said, thank you, Jesus, for the fleas and the lice. Well, guess what? Down the road, in Tramp for the Lord, and also in the hiding place, Corey was able to see that the fleas and the lice was a blessing. You know why? Because it kept all of those German soldiers out of the women's barracks, and it kept the women from being sexually violated. In everything, that's what Betsy was saying to her sister, Corey, in everything, not just when the circumstances are pleasant, but even when they're dire and dangerous and dark, when we can't see our way through it, we give thanks. You see, that's what David is saying. David, in spite of all of his ups and his downs, was given by the grace of God a heart for the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart, not just with a small percentage, not just with a portion of my life or a few hours of my day, but David says, with my whole heart, my entire being is going to be an offering of thanksgiving to God. It's the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament who has a 3-chapter oracle, and he ends that oracle with a prayer. And in that prayer, he ends by saying, Lord, even if there are no figs on the fig tree, Lord, even if there are no sheep out in the pasture, Lord, even if there are no cattle in the stalls, Lord, even if there are no crops in the fields, nevertheless, I will rejoice in you. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. You see what Habakkuk is saying? Having you, O Lord, is enough. Giving thanks because we have Jesus. You make my feet like hinds' feet. You make me to tread upon the high places. That's what the prophet Habakkuk says, proclaims, prays, as he utters his proclamation, as he recounts the wonderful deeds of the Lord. It was St. Peter, you may recall, who said, once you were no people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Why? So that you may declare, proclaim, recount the wonderful deeds of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know if you follow football much, but this past weekend, there was a football game, and it was in Buffalo, New York, and the Buffalo Bills were hosting and playing the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Reich, has been there since 2018. Frank Reich is also an ordained Presbyterian pastor and the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, they were expected to get soundly defeated, the Colts, because the Bills were on paper a much better team. But instead, there was a major upset. Instead, what happened in that game is that it was something like, I don't know, maybe 45-23 or something like that. I mean, it's a pretty good trouncing. And after the game was over, and the surprise upset, you know how they sometimes will have an after-the-game chat with the coach? And so there was Frank Reich. And Frank said, I've got some friends that are going through trying, difficult circumstances. I know that this has been a rough time for us, Indianapolis Colts. We've been talking about how we've been kind of climbing up Mount Everest. But do you know what the scriptures say? We press on to make it our own because Christ Jesus has made us his own. You know what the scriptures say? Jesus is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. We're all on a journey, and we're all climbing and pressing on. So where is it that we find our joy? Where is it that we find our hope in the midst of the struggles? You know what Frank Reich did? He said, I want to tell you something. Almost 30 years ago, January 3rd, 1993, Frank Reich, some of you are as old as I am, so you know this history. Some of you will have to read about it, but it's worth reading about. January 3rd, 1993, Jim Kelly got injured. And so Frank Reich was the backup quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And now here he's the coach of the Indianapolis Colts that has just miraculously upset the Buffalo Bills. Almost 30 years, and he's in the locker room. And he said, I want to tell you what I shared 30 years ago when we won that game. It is called the comeback. In NFL history, there's been no greater comeback ever. At halftime, the Buffalo Bills were behind 28-3, Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers. And then Frank Reich, in the second half when they came out, and he's leading the team, threw an interception, and suddenly it's 35-3. But you know what happened? Well, it's called the comeback for a reason. The greatest comeback. Well, I'd say the second one, because the greatest one happened about 2,000 years ago when Jesus came back from the dead and rose as promised on Easter morning. In about 7 minutes' time, there was this total collapse, and Warren Moon threw an interception, and then all of a sudden, Frank Reich was hitting his receivers, and in 7 minutes' time, they'd cut the shortfall down to about a deficit of only 4 points. They had miraculously did a couple of onside kicks, and they got the ball back. They were scoring. With 3 minutes left in the game, they went ahead. For the first time in the game, remember, they were behind 35-3. They went ahead by 3 points. And Warren Moon was able to come back, and he was able to tie it up with a field goal. It went into overtime. This is a playoff game, wild card playoff game. And what ended up happening, my friends, is that Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers, he threw an interception, and the Buffalo Bills intercepted it, and they went down, they kicked a field goal, and they won the comeback. Now, why do I share this story with you? Well, because here is somebody that could have spent the whole time when they just miraculously upset the Indianapolis Colts, upset the Buffalo Bills this past weekend. He could have been bragging and boasting and exulting in himself and in his leadership and in his players, but he didn't. Instead, and I didn't realize that there was a song before the Getty did In Christ Alone. There's another song called In Christ Alone. And so Frank Reich, he said, almost 30 years ago, when we had that comeback, I shared these words of my favorite song. And I'm going to share them again today because I want you to know where my strength comes from. where I get the strength to go on and continue in my journey, even when the times are difficult. Here's the words, In Christ Alone, written by Sean Craig. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me that my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. And then he included his remarks, concluded them with his favorite line, I seek no greater honor than just to know him more. He could have spent that whole after victory game, conference, questions and answers, patting himself and others, exulting in himself, but he didn't. Instead, I think he remembered Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will exult and be glad in you, O Most High. I will praise your name, and I will recount your wonderful deeds. Well, that's what David says. That's what David does. And we saw it again last weekend with Frank Reich. So the only question for us as we gather in this week of Thanksgiving between an old year and a new church year is, what will I do? To whom or what will I acknowledge? To whom will I give thanks and exalt and find my gladness? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day. Now thank we all our God. I invite you to join with me in the confession of our faith. Today we'll be using Luther's meaning to Article 1 of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe that God has created me and all that exists. He has given and still preserves my body and soul with all their powers. He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God also protects me in times of danger and guards me from every evil. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
We'll continue with our prayers. Father in heaven, you are the creator and source of all things. To you alone do we owe thanks and praise. We give you thanks that we can call you Father because of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross provided payment for our sin and whose resurrection gives us hope and new life through Spirit-worked faith in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we confess that we have often been less than thankful for all your care and gifts. We often think that somehow we are entitled to your generosity, or that we have somehow earned all we have by our own hard work and effort. Forgive us and instruct our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit toward true humility and gratitude. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, our National Day of Thanksgiving was established in 1863 during the Civil War in the midst of chaos and conflict. Today we live in the context of a world where wars continue to rage, fear is epidemic, and death seems to demand victory. We thank you for being sovereign over all of our affairs as you rule in power and grace. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we thank you for giving us each day our daily bread. You provide all that we need to sustain us. Direct and help us to be instruments of daily bread in the lives of others less fortunate than us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, direct the hearts of our nation's leaders and her people to call upon you for wisdom, and may we truly be thankful. May we become a nation of grateful and generous people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we beseech you to come speedily to the rescue of all who cry out for healing of body, mind, heart, or spirit, and those we name.
Gracious Lord, we pray today for Randy and Cindy Lund, for Sheldon Bieri, for Sis Brayton. We pray for Barbara Stephenson, for Margaret Qualm, for Elaine Jacobson, for Deb Coloma, she grieves the loss of her husband, Darren. We pray for Don and Jean Wanick, for Marianne Groven, for Nakia Ryder and her family, for Deb Spitzer and Eric Miller, for Arianna Bananen and Karen Otis and Melody Graves. We pray your blessings upon the marriage of Ashley and Tyler.
Deliver them from their afflictions and restore them to the fellowship of all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, hear our prayer and graciously grant all that glorifies you and benefits our poor, broken world for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join with me in our ascending and benediction, a portion of Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God. I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our going forth song, Let All Things Now Live In. Thank you.